This is episode 16 of the Women Uninterrupted podcast brought to you by The Hindu. This podcast is a space where we host difficult, different, and uninterrupted conversations between women. Hello, I'm your host Anna Thomas on Women Uninterrupted. And this episode is the curtain raiser for a five-part series on women and singlehood. And I'm excited to announce that I have found the perfect person for this curtain raiser, and she is Srimoyi Piyukundu. Welcome, Srimoyi.
Thank you, Anna. It's a pleasure to be on your podcast.
Srimoyi is a columnist on gender and sexuality. She is also a published author, and she is the founder of a community called Status Single. Well, I had to stalk that to find you, Srimoyi. Srimoyi, I will be talking to five single women for our five episodes on singlehood. But you went over and above that and interviewed nearly 3,000 single Indian women for your book, Status Single. Can I ask you the most obvious question? What triggered you to start the community, to write the book?
I would replace the word trigger with inspired to begin with. Actually, this book was written in 2018. It's my first nonfiction work. 2018, Anna, was the year I turned 40. And I sort of celebrated my 40th birthday like a wedding. In a practice called sologamy, which is, you know, when you take vows to yourself and you say that you're going to respect and honor and, you know, cherish yourself. I was writing a very popular column for India Today for their website Daily O, which was an opinion website. And I used to do this column called Below the Belt, where I would write a lot about my own experiences as a modern, unmarried, child-free, single woman, turning 40, who stays with her parents, only daughter, primary caregiver, self-employed. You know, I don't come from, you know, like a very rich family. So, you know, it's a normal middle-class Indian household. And all around me, I was noticing social revolution, cultural revolution, even financial and sexual revolution. You know, dating apps were coming up. Section 377 was being hotly debated. It was still not decriminalized. My friends' marriages were breaking up and women were choosing to end marriages because, you know, they said enough of this unpaid emotional labor, you know, being available sexually plus being a breadwinner and emotionally getting breadcrumbs from men. Enough. I was also noticing, you know, a lot of self-employed women being first-time, you know, first-generation entrepreneurs all around me. Plus, I was also, you know, seeing that there were more and more women who didn't want to settle down by a certain age. You know, 30 ki ho gayi hai, that proverbial biological bomb, like I call it. Women were ditching that narrative because thanks to science, I can become a mother with IVF, or I can adopt, or I can foster, or I'm happy to be a pet mom or a plant mom. You know, I, you know, told my agent, I said, no, I want to interview as many single women as possible to reflect the intersectionality of the community. There's 74.1 million single women. That's over 7 crores. In a country where marriage and motherhood are still considered to be the highest validation of womanhood. I said, we are sitting on the cusp of a, you know, socio-economic, cultural, you know, even religious to an extent, because marriage is sanctified by religion and society and family. I said, we are completely overturning patriarchy in a sense, because, you know, women are now choosing the kind of life that is commensurate to them. I was also seeing, you know, gutsy widows, you know, who were bringing up their children. And I wanted to make the book as diverse and as inclusive as possible. So I ended up interviewing 3,500 single women spread across almost all of India, tier 2, tier 3 metros. And every time I ended interviewing someone, if you see the cover of Status Single, There would be a question that, you know, what are the labels that get prefixed to you as a single woman? Because we live in a very, very judgmental, nosy, you know, regressive, misogynist society. And the things that they told me, aggressive, ambitious, bimbed, butch, NGO type ki, Amir Baap ki bigri hui beti, tez, you know, sex bomb, divorcee, bin biyahi, you know, all these, you know, we crowdsourced these words from about 20 Indian languages, and they make it to the cover, you know, even Bengali words like nakachundi, jogrute, meaning jhagrelu, you know, things like that. And we realized that, you know, singlehood is still a stigma. It is still a taboo. You know, women don't change their names in corporates even now after a divorce, because there's so much of gossip, there's so much of judgment, there is so much of, you know, sexual harassment which happens. So there were so many issues, you know, housing discrimination, you know, problems of changing the name in the passport, though the Ministry of External Affairs says that, you know, you don't need a father's name. But the implementation, because there is no sensitization of government officials, is horribly, horribly patriarchal. So that's how the book came about. And we traveled to 12 Indian cities with the book. That led to the Facebook recognized community group, which is close to 4,000 members strong. And in 2021, we actually transitioned from an online to an offline space. And we operate through WhatsApp groups. We are present in many Indian cities and hopefully spreading our wings overseas as well. And I think my whole experience of being a single woman who was brought up by a very brave widowed mother, and I lost my biological father to the shadows of suicide, and we lived for years with that shame and stigma. Probably that would have influenced even families of men rejecting me as a, you know, candidate for marriage, because, you know, in India, arranged marriage, I always say it, it's like a, you know, it's like a marketplace, you know, where you're just putting up women almost for sale. You know, what's the waist size, fair, mm-hmm. slim, convented, is she an MBA? So basically, you know, this is how the journey of status single, you know, from status single to everything changes, where I talk about my experience of being a single woman, my experience of, you know, being raised by a mother who remarried when she was 44, and the ire of society that she faced because she had married a man 13 years younger, who was a South Indian, to, you know, my journey, my relationships, a broken engagement, the harassment that even I went through at the hands of the medical fraternity, because I suffer from a condition called PCOD and endometriosis. So every time I went to a gynecologist in Delhi, I literally speed dated them. You know, I would be judged and my mother would be lectured, like, why are you not getting her married? As if, you know, it's her fault. You know, as if there's something wrong with all of us. Down to, of course, you know, the book, my relationships, you know, standing up. I was in a very, very abusive relationship in my 20s, beaten, a victim of domestic violence. I mean, not domestic in that sense, but intimate partner abuse. And surviving all of that and finally owning up to the truth of my life as a woman who's Atmanirbhar, proudly self-partnered, and is so honored to lead a community and tribe of women who don't just stay and suffer and who live life on their own terms with all the struggles, with all the, you know, the responsibilities, with the loneliness, with the, you know, the fracture of marriages, relationships, the partners passing away. And also, you know, we've got physically challenged women in our community, LGBTQIA women. I want more trans women to join in. I want to make it as diverse as possible and create an identity of singlehood which is strong, which is beautiful, which is successful, and not something which a family should be ashamed of. And I think, you know, when you finish reading the memoir, it is really a story of a woman who rebuilds her life. And I think most single women, we have to constantly rebuild our lives. You know, we have to adapt. We have to face challenges. We have to bring up children sometimes, you know, take the onus of aging parents and do it with our chin up. So that's really the journey.
Okay, thank you for that. And your memoir, what is it called?
My memoir is called Everything Changes.
Everything Changes. All right. Yes. Yeah, and that has just been released. I'm interested in intergenerational attitudes. How do generations differ in their attitudes towards singlehood, women being single? I think we have had about a 39% increase from the previous census. We've had 2011 and the year the census before that. There was a 39% increase in single women. You think the rise in the number of single women could be a factor of increasing acceptance?
I think it's a mix of things, Anna. One is that firstly, women are now much more educated. And because of their educational aspirations, they study for much longer. Women and men are now at par in terms of, in fact, our age of marriage also, as you know, has been now increased. Also, I think with financial independence comes choices, freedom of choices, comes sexual emancipation. We have dating apps now. Women are sexually active. You know, there are, you know, sex toy websites. There is the iPill available over the counter. Abortion is legalized, though it continues to be very, very difficult for single women to get an abortion, mainly because of that same patriarchal, like I call it, the Jananis, you know, the Jananis of Delhi, I used to call them, you know, the typical nosy neighbor auntie who gossips about you, that kind of attitude. Also, I think women are now living away from their parents, you know, because of jobs, because of, you know, the studies that they do. They're living in hostels as PGs, working women's messes are coming up. And I think with this comes a new level of independence, emotional independence. I think women are also now much more aware, thanks to, you know, us talking about emotional abuse in women, intimate partner violence. I know because I'm a spokesperson of this. Women are talking much more about gaslighting, breadcrumbing, stonewalling, ghosting, you know, being treated poorly emotionally, emotional labor of women, which is mostly unpaid. Women are also choosing not to have children. I mean, I know many couple friends of mine who are very happy pet parents. They have not had children by choice. So we are noticing these, you know, changes in society as a whole, I would say. And definitely today, you know, of course, divorce is still a huge stigma. You know, I'm not going to pussyfoot around this and say that, oh, everything's changed. And, you know, just because I run a community, there's a lot of acceptance. Absolutely not. There's tremendous taboo. You know, you would be surprised that how widows are treated. I mean, of course, their heads are not torsoed and, you know, they are not sent to Haridwar and Banaras. But, you know, there is still a lot of prejudice against widows who are just expected to be, you know, asexual, dutiful caregivers to children and aging in-laws or parents. Whereas for divorcees, the parents want to get them remarried at the drop of a hat because they don't want that blame, right? That there's something faulty or wrong with your daughter. It's not easy for women to exit a marriage because women in India quit jobs when they get married. I keep telling women never to do that. And, you know, especially also when you have a child, because at the end of the day, children grow up and leave and, you know, marriage, if you're lucky, you can have a good partnership, which again needs a lot of work, commitment, investment of time, physical, emotional labor. But apart from that, life is uncertain. Today, marriages are not what they used to be. Divorce rates are growing. And I've seen statistics which say that women want to end marriages before men. Men actually are quite comfortable being in marriage. It works much better for men. A, because I think they're weaker, they can't be alone. If you see when a man loses the wife, the first thing his family will try and get him married. That's the first instinct of the family. Oh, how is he going to bring up the children alone? How is he going to live? You know, he's a man. A man has needs, you know. We keep hearing these comments, right? So basically, divorces, now women are walking out of marriage. There are still huge, alarming, staggering rates of domestic abuse, emotional abuse, tremendous, you know, struggles of women to lodge a police complaint, little or no family support, sometimes no money. But NGOs are coming up. There are NGOs and associations which really, really help women to get support, to get, you know, we are seeing so many networking groups. Have you noticed that? You know, women are networking professionally. earlier, it just used to be like a big boys club, you know, like after work, you see a bunch of office goers, you know, loosen their neckties and go drink. And now you have women professional networking groups, you know, Leap Club, Status Single, for example, so many. And because we are networking, because we are holding space for one another, because we are sharing our stories, we're empowering one another. We've even had something like the Me Too, which is unthinkable in India, because I started my career in the notorious Asian age. And, you know, I have seen the kind of, you know, abuse which women have gone through, but it's taken almost 3 decades for those women now to speak up, you know. So I think this is happening because world over, thanks to social media, thanks to, movements like this single women's movement today, single studies is taught. The Manipal University has a course in their sociology paper called Single Studies, which is, something I recently lectured at the Flame University, Department of Sociology. A lot of researchers are starting to research singlehood as part of their, you know, sociology or gender studies papers. And I think this is the change, right? It's not going to happen in a day. You know, probably Srimoy will be dead and gone before my contribution, however small, will be validated, will be recognized, and there will be, I hope, some young woman, whose parents say that if Srimoy could do it, if our community members could do it, you can do it. You can live with your head high. You don't need to settle down. Of course, marriage is beautiful. Companionship is beautiful. I think it's the most sacred thing in the world if you find, but on your terms and on your turf, always.
Yeah, let's talk about loneliness and solitude as a single woman. Well, loneliness is a socially engendered construct. You assume that you have to be married to not be lonely. We have mental health concerns in the single community as well as in the married community, of course. But what are the different kinds of issues which a government policy can address?
I think loneliness is a pandemic, I think. The greatest number of, suicides in our country are one of the biggest groups which do this are housewives, right? If you notice women, they are so harassed in their marriages or, you know, they are harassed for dowry that they kill themselves often. Or, you know, there's so much of postpartum depression, for instance, which goes unnoticed. So much of intimate partner abuse, so much of marital rape, which is still not criminalized in our country, which is one of the greatest reasons why women are sad. I've been so depressed and so lonely in my relationship, and I think one of the greatest causes of women to be unhappy is to be in wrong partnerships and suppress mm-hmm. their needs and just, you know, grin and bear neglect. Not being prioritized, just being treated like a doormat and an emotional dustbin, you know, or a baby maker or a sex provider or a, you know, a social. See, marriage is also like a social, endorsement, right? Mm-hmm. So I generally think that, loneliness is something I will not say that it is only limited to single women. Of course, there is loneliness. I exited a relationship and I, you know, plummeted into crippling loneliness because I was so used to my partner for a year, you know. But I also realized, Anna, that at least I have the choice to end a relationship because I'm single. Had I been married to this guy, I shudder to think what my life would have been. I mean, these are men who are educated in premier institutions. They are CEOs of organizations and they don't have the emotional tools to deal with modern Indian women. I think women today are much more evolved in India. If you look at the number of, you know, women are joining pranic healing courses, you know, they're doing yoga, they're being fit, they are going to therapists, they're opting for, even medication sometimes to deal with depression. There's so much of stand-up comedy now, which is also dealing with women's issues. But if you see men, they're still stuck in the same loop of power, progeny, privilege, what's your job, you know, having a girl on my arm. I think patriarchy traps more men voiceless. So loneliness, yes. But again, I would say that today we have these forums where women can come and talk. You were on Status Single briefly, so you've seen the kind of honest conversations, people reaching out organically. We have meetups every month in the cities where we operate, where women come, they talk. It's a safe space. Our chapter leads often get these women connected to counselors. And I think loneliness is something you have to embrace it. Your solitude is, it's sweet. Like, you know, I just saw this Instagram reel. It's a quote by a very famous writer, Wasson Shire, who says that my solitude is so sweet that you need to be much more sweeter for me to give up that solitude and be with you. So I think as women upgrade the quality of their life, the quality of their bodies, the quality of their sexual energy, their feminine energy and their thoughts, I think we are not going to just settle for any Tom, Dick and Harry because we are lonely. You know, I've spoken to couples who, you know, they're openly promiscuous. The child knows everything. But, you know, they're so frightened to go for a divorce because, A, you know, they're scared of societal repercussions. They keep giving the child as an excuse, which is the biggest sham, because children are the first to know when there is trouble in paradise. And there is, in our community, for instance, we don't use the term broken home. There's nothing broken about a home. And, you know, today, even the Supreme Court recognizes different sorts of families. So, you know, a same-sex couple, or if there's a man and woman in a live-in, or, you know, if it's a single mother. I mean, over 12 million households are run by single mothers. So I think these are very, very empowering statistics. And yes, loneliness, how does one deal with it? I can talk about myself personally. I go for therapy. I'm very intentional about my therapy. I talk about therapy openly so that, you know, people don't feel ashamed to say I have a therapist. My therapist is also a friend. She's a well-wisher. She's an ally of my community. And I also feel that having some good friends, but also making peace with your loneliness, you know, making peace with the fact that this is my life. This is where I'm supposed to be. And trying to make new associations, pursue hobbies. Solo travel is so in vogue now. You know, there are lovely, you know, collectives again of women, like Women on Wanderlust, which is run by Sumitra Senapati in your city, Bangalore, which organizes trips for women. There are many more now. You know, even conventional travel agencies are organizing these tours for women. I think it's a brave new world, Anna. And I think loneliness is definitely a pandemic, which is why we need, as you said, stories. We need to reach out to one another, and we're just walking each other home. That's what I feel.
Yeah, thank you, Srimoyi. I think we could conclude by saying that the relationship with yourself is the most important one. Whether you're married, whether you're single, we have to accept, recognize that there is a lot of stigma and discrimination against the status of singlehood. And we have to also talk with our older generations. How do we communicate with them that this is normal too? So, Srimoyi,
I think, Anna, you know, even women becoming single at a later age, you know, I have women in my community who, you know, exited a marriage after 40 years. They got married when they were 16 or 17, and now they're in their 50s and they've taken a divorce. Or, you know, women who've come out of a heteronormative marriage and found love with a woman, a same-sex relationship. So I think that, you know, of course there is societal stigma. Of course there is a lot of mental, because like I keep saying, the change has to come in your mind. You know, no matter how successful your daughter is, if you're still going to weigh her happiness, you know, vis-a-vis marriage. Again, I'm saying that companionship is beautiful, but we have to expand even the very definition of companionship. Companionship can also be, you know, just a wonderful holiday with your girlfriend. Companionship can be an evening with your pet at a pet cafe. Companionship can be joining a book club. Like, you know, from my community in Kolkata, a couple of girls, you know, who love to play board games, you know, they formed a little group. They meet every weekend. They play board games at Starbucks, or they play Antakshari. It's lovely, you know. So from a bigger tree, smaller branches are coming out. And that was my dream always, that no matter how alone you are, you always know that there is somebody else who may be not walking, you know, wearing the same shoes, but they are walking the same path.
Thanks, Srimayi. If somebody would like to join your Facebook group, could they come to Facebook and look for Status Single?
Yes. Status Single is the Facebook community. You just have to type Status Single and you'll see a picture of me holding up a copy of my book. That's the community. You have to fill up 3 joining questions. And your entry point is you have to be legally single. So if if we get a lot of membership requests from married women who say, but we are single, you know, technically we are single. We live in the same house, but my husband has his own life. I have my own life. Unfortunately, we don't permit that because the idea is that you've crossed that Lakshman Rekha and you're separated at least legally. And as I said, it's a very intersectional community. We have beautiful chapters with very, very dynamic, caring, committed chapter leads and volunteers who are trying to do their best to bring women together as a collective. And there's always, that safety net of having a single women's tribe, which I think is going to be the buzzword in Indian society as more and more women become emotionally, financially, sexually, and just empowered from a feminine point of view, we will rise into our own consciousness. I believe this is the new India that we will awaken to.
Thanks, Srimayi, and all the best for Status Single. Signing off on this episode of Women Uninterrupted, a podcast where we host difficult, different, and uninterrupted conversations, brought to you by The Hindu.